understand demonology, we're going to study something about the spirit world. Satan and evil spirits are generally looked upon as influences and not as intelligent beings. It just so happens that this week in the paper there was an article entitled "More Convinced of Devil's Existence Survey Reports." It's an AP report, and I read part of it. "Popular belief in the positive existence of the devil is increasing, according to a recent study. A 1973 survey of 3,456 persons showed that the number of those convinced of the devil's existence rose from 37% in a 1964 survey to 48% in last year's study." That means since 1964, 11%. The number of those who believe in the existence of Satan has risen 11%, which, by the way, is still relatively small. That means only 48% of the people surveyed believe in the reality or the existence of the devil. Some folks think that the devil is just evil personified, that it's just an influence. But we'll find out before we finish that there really is such a thing as the devil. Brother Orloff jokingly said one time, "If there's no devil, then who's doing all the devil meant?" And I thought that sounded pretty good. This writer went on to say, though the study's findings were unpublicized until now, the interviewing was done before the recent surge of interest in demonology caused by the movie The Exorcist. This survey was done before this movie was put out, though the findings have just now been released. I would imagine that since this movie has received so much publicity, that the percent of those who believe in the existence of Satan would have risen even more by now. I'll continue reading. "The study also showed that those certain the devil exists were more likely than others to feel threatened by forces in modern society such as crime, high prices, radicals, and communism, and so on." And this is this writer's way of putting this. He goes on to say that, I won't read this, I didn't cut all the article out, just this part of it. In his article, if I remember, he went on to say that that Satan has become the scapegoat. So many problems that Satan has just become the scapegoat and folks are blaming it on Satan. Well, I want us to study this morning demonology. And the first thing I want to do is establish the fact that demons are for real. There really are such a thing as demons. And I could give you several proofs of it, but I'm only going to give you one proof. I'm going to take what the Bible says and we'll study it from the Bible, and I hope you'll go along with me. Make some notes. We're going to study from the Bible that demons do really exist, that they are for real. So the first point in our lesson will be the proof of demons. And we'll just look for a few minutes now at just some scripture references in the Bible. If you want to turn to them, be fine. If not, I'll quote some of them to you. Let's look first at Acts chapter 19 and read it, beginning with verse 11, Acts chapter 19. And here's the experience of an exorcist attempting to cast out demons. And you're going to find that, Acts chapter 19. So let's turn that. "And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. And certain of the vagabond Jews, exorcists, took upon them to call over them which had evil spirits the name of the Lord Jesus, saying, We adjure you by Jesus, whom Paul preached. And there were seven sons of one Sevi, a Jew, and chief of the priests, which did so. And the evil spirit answered and said," now the man didn't answer, the evil spirit answered out of the man, "and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know." You know, we could stop here and spend the whole morning on this particular lesson, because here is an evil spirit or demon, I use the two expressions synonymous, that talks back out of a man and says, "Jesus I know, and Paul I know." Now that's very interesting, because we're going to learn as time goes on, if maybe not this morning, that demons are actually fallen angels. And at one time, all the angels were created to worship Christ in heaven, and he received their worship and their adoration. And of course, they would know Jesus even back before the time when man was created, and we'll see that a little later. I won't take time to prove that here, but we'll see it a little later. And also, I would think that it's a possibility that these particular demons had been cast out of someone by Jesus himself and had now entered into this particular man. And it's also possible that these same demons had been cast out of someone by the Apostle Paul, and they remembered Paul. And so the demon answers back out of the man, "Jesus I know and Paul I know, but who are ye?" And the man in whom the evil spirit was leaped on them. That is, this one man, demon-possessed, leaped on seven men. Continue reading. "And overcame them and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded." This gives you an idea of the supernatural strength of a person who is actually possessed with a demon. Here was one man who overcame seven men. Now, that's just not ordinary. That's superhuman strength. One man overcame seven men. By the way, you wonder why they couldn't cast them out. You say, well, they must not have been Christians, or they could have cast them out. No, you can cast out demons and not be a Christian. Matthew 7, verse 21 and 22, it's not in my notes, but I'll just give it to you. Jesus said, "Not everyone that says unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. For many will come to me in that day and say, Lord, Lord, haven't we prophesied in thy name? Haven't we cast out devils, demons in thy name? Haven't we done many mighty wonderful works in thy name? And then I'll profess unto them, depart from me, ye that work iniquity, I know you not." So there are two or three things that stand out in this particular passage here. Number one, and I'll go back to verse 12 for this one. Number one is that you're not to confuse disease with demon possession. Because here the scripture clearly distinguishes between those who were diseased and those who were demon possessed. It says the disease is departed from them and the evil spirits went out of them. We'll look at that closer because someone asked me a question last week about epilepsy. Said they heard that it was caused by demon possession. You'll find out the Bible clearly distinguishes between the two. Matthew 4, verse 24 and 25. It even uses the word epilepsy in the Amplified Version and some other versions of the New Testament. So here's a passage. It would certainly indicate that demons do exist, and they are for real. Now, the Bible declares the existence of demons. James 2, 9, make the note, you study it later, says the devils also believed and trembled. The devils are demons. The word is demons. The demons also believed and trembled. That is, they believed that Jesus is the Son of God, and so on. Revelation chapter 9, verse 20. Turn with me there, please. And boy, there is so much in the Bible about this particular subject, I really don't know which way to go with it. "And the rest of them which were not killed by the plagues, yet repented not of the works of their hands, that they should not worship devils or demons, and idols of gold and silver and brass and stone, and of wood, which neither can see nor hear nor walk." So the Bible declares their existence. Secondly, the Bible describes their nature and activity. Turn to Luke chapter 4 with me, please. Verse 33, and I'll give you time each time to find this, because I want you to see it for yourself. Luke chapter 4. Verse 33, "And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil," or unclean demon, describing their nature. Turn to Luke chapter 6, verse 18. Same book, verse 18. "And they that were vexed with unclean spirits," or devils, demons, "and they were healed." Here you have the word unclean used to describe them. I looked up this word in Strong's Concordance, looked up the original Greek word that's translated unclean. It means impure, unpure, or lewd. And that's interesting because the next passage we're going to see something else. 1 Timothy chapter 4. A little bit further over toward the back of the Bible, 1 Timothy chapter 4. For those who may not be as familiar with the Bible as others, 1 Timothy chapter 4. That's on page 1276 if you have an old Schofield Bible. And how interesting. This sounds like it was written yesterday. "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, the teaching of demons, devils, seducing spirits, that's demons. They give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats and so on. Now that expression, forbidding to marry, does not mean celibacy. That expression, forbidding to marry, is advocating free love. Don't marry. Just move in with somebody. Just live with them. That piece of paper is nothing anyway. That little marriage contract doesn't mean anything. Just don't get married. Just move in and start living with somebody. Does that sound like it might have been written yesterday, the day before yesterday? You'd be surprised how many Christians who go to church have begun to think like that. And that's a result. And that's the attempt, the effort of the demons that possess a person. Along with this, in the connection with this, turn to Luke chapter 8. And you'll find the record of a man who was demon-possessed, and you'll find what he did. He was streaking. Streaking's nothing new. Here's a man who streaked in a graveyard. By the way, it's in your Bible. It was in there before they ever streaked down at the university down here. Luke chapter 8. Let's begin with verse 26 and following. And they arrived at the country of the Gadarenes, which is over against Galilee. And when he went forth to land, there met him out of the city a certain man which had devils. He had more than one demon. And he had had them a long time, the Bible said. He had demons a long time. And wear no clothes. Neither abode in any house, but in the tombs. Isn't it strange that it says that men will give heed to seducing spirits and teachings of demons, and they'll forbid to marry. No need to marry, just live together. And here, a demon-possessed man who was possessed with many demons took his clothes off, went naked. Now, I'm not saying that everybody who's streaked is demon-possessed. I do say they need something very badly. They need a couple of streaks on them, I think. Maybe get them straightened out. But I'm saying that that's the tendency, according to the Bible. And you notice that when Jesus cast the demons out of him, I won't read the entire passage, but when Jesus cast the demons out of him, down in verse 35 it says, then they went out to see what was done, came to Jesus and found the man, that's the demon-possessed man, out of whom the devils were departed, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed. Contrast that with verse 27, where it says he wear no clothes. Now the demons are out of him. He's sitting at the feet of Jesus. He's clothed, and in his right mind, the implication is that he had mental disorders. He was actually insane, which was no more in his case than demon possession. And I'm not saying that everyone who has mental disorders is demon possessed. But in this case, this man was demon possessed, and he really didn't have mental disorders. When the demons were gone, he put his clothes on. He sat at the feet of Jesus. He was back again in his right mind, and they were afraid. Instead of rejoicing, they were afraid because such a miracle had happened to this particular man. Now, if you are not going to believe in the reality of demons, you're just going to have to say, I don't believe the Bible. Because there's much said in the Bible about it. Now, not only does the Bible declare their existence and describe their nature and activity, but the Bible mentions their expulsion from human bodies. The point of the lesson this morning is just to establish the fact that demons are for real. Then we'll talk about where they came from, what they are, what they do, and so on, as time permits. The Bible mentions their expulsion from human bodies. I won't even read these two passages, because we'll talk about casting out demons later, and we'll cover this. But I'm just trying to establish the fact that they are for real. Luke 9:42, Luke 8:26 through 33. I hope you can read that from the back. I'll read it just in case you can't. Number four, the Bible also suggests their organization under Satan. Satan is a prince of the powers of the air. Speaking of the demons, they're organized under Satan. And very highly organized, I might say. They even are called by names in the Bible. In the book of Daniel, two demons are called by name. They vary in power. Some have more power than others. Just like the angels of God, some have more power than others. But they are highly organized under Satan. Matthew 12:26. Let's read a couple of these verses. I'd like to get the first part of this lesson covered, if possible. And if Satan cast out Satan, he's divided against himself. How shall his kingdom stand? His kingdom, what is his kingdom? He's over demons, evil spirits, same thing. Verse 27 of the same chapter, Matthew 12, 27. And if I by Beelzebub cast out devils or demons, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. So here you have their organization under Satan. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12. If you want to turn there quickly, that's on page 1255 in an old Schofield Bible. That will help some of you to find it quickly. Here it says, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. That is, we're not fighting against personalities, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickednesses in high places. We'll talk more about the organization under Satan as we study them further, but this is just to establish the fact of their existence. The Bible not only suggests the organization under Satan, but it indicates their abode. Satan is the prince of the power of the air. That's in Ephesians chapter 2, the first two or three verses. Ephesians 2, just put verse 1 through verse 3. I don't think it's on here. Also Ephesians 6, 12. He's a prince of the powers of the air. The word air mentioned in Ephesians chapter 2, there are two Greek words, air, translated into English. The word air used here is A-E-R, and it means the lower, denser atmosphere. If you were to take a Greek up on Mount Olympus, which is 6,403 feet, and ask him where is the air, the Greek would point down, which means that the Greek word Paul used means the lower, denser atmosphere, somewhere less than 6,403 feet up here. So, this is the place that Satan now occupies along with the majority of demons. We're going to find that not all demons are free. Some demons are bound in the bottomless pit. In Revelation chapter 9, they'll be loosed upon the earth during the tribulation period, and they're described as monstrosities, having hair like a woman and claws like an eagle and so on. We'll look at that a little later. Not all demons are free. Some are bound. Most of them, I would say, are free. There's no indication in the Bible about how these or why these are bound, or when they were bound, or the occasion of their binding. It's not mentioned. I can only speculate. And I will speculate a little bit. I would think, and this is only speculation, Hudsonology. I won't tell you that, so you don't put down chapter and verse on this. Don't be like our little boy was. One of our little boys in Sunday school here, they were quoting memory verses, and one said, John 3:16, God so loved the world. And the little fellow would just say anything. He'd say, Paul 8:11, or James something, any name he could think of. His mother kept shooting verses back and forth at him. Finally, he said, Hudson the Baptist, John 6:11. He got all mixed up. Well, this is Hudson 11 here. The demons which are in the abyss were not created originally and put in the abyss, because demons are fallen angels, and God never created a demon, as we'll see. He created angels, and they rebelled with Satan and became demons. I would suggest that probably they were put in the abyss when they were cast out of someone and consigned to the pit. You ever hear anybody talk about casting out demons and make sure you consign them to the pit? It seems to be the practice of Jesus to consign demons to the pit whenever he cast them out. For instance, turn to Luke chapter 8, verse 31. Luke 8, verse 31, that's the same story where the man was streaking through the graveyard. And we'll see what happened. In verse 30, Jesus begins a conversation with a demon-possessed man that had been naked in a graveyard, who had cut himself with all manner of sharp objects. He had been bound, and often, again here, supernatural strength. He had been bound with great ropes, and he had break these ropes and fetters. And Jesus begins a conversation with him in verse 30. And Jesus asked him, saying, what is thy name? And he said, Legion, because many devils were entered into him. Legion means many. It's a particular number. It's a large number. The demon spoke out, we're many, speaking out of the man. And in verse 31, they continued talking to Jesus and said, they besought him that he would not command them to enter into the deep. If you have a Bible with a center reference, if you have an old Schofield Bible, a little W is beside the word deep, and you drop over in your margin or your center reference, and it gives you Revelation chapter 20, verse 1 through 3 as a reference. In Revelation chapter 20, 1 through 3, is the account of Satan being bound, cast in the bottomless pit for 1,000 years. So the deep here has reference to the bottomless pit, the abyss. So evidently when Jesus would cast the demons out of people, he would consign them to the pit, the bottomless pit, the abyss. And so I would suggest that the reason some are there now is because they were cast out and as a result were consigned to the bottomless pit. Or it could be, and this is again speculation, it could be that the reason some are in the bottomless pit is that their victim committed suicide, as is often the case. In this particular passage here in Luke chapter 8, these demons requested that they would not be cast into the pit, but would be given the privilege of going into a herd of swine, hogs. And they went into a herd of swine, 2,000 hogs. And all 2,000 hogs rushed into the sea and choked themselves. They committed suicide. A man demon-possessed has suicidal tendencies. We'll see that later on, too. We'll talk about some of the symptoms of demon possession in another lesson. But they had a sea full of deviled ham here. I probably have a bit off more than I can chew right here. Or more than I can get to you in the next few minutes. Real quickly, let me give you this. I hope you'll draw this if you have it. If you're keeping a notebook, I hope you'll draw this. It's important you do. This would represent the earth here, the surface of the earth, just a round circle. You forget what's up here above the earth for the time being. And let's just look at this right in here. Okay? If you study the Bible, you'll find there are several words that's translated hell or Sheol in the Bible. Take the story of the rich man in Lazarus in Luke chapter 16. If you remember the story, you heard the sermon. The rich man died and was buried, and in hell he lifted his eyes, being in torment in the flames. You remember that without me turning to it? The beggar also died and was carried by angels to Abraham's bosom. He was in paradise. Now, remember the story how the rich man looked across a gulf and saw Lazarus in the bosom of Abraham. Now, if heaven at that time, paradise at that time, where Lazarus went, was in the third heaven, which is beyond the highest star, and hell was in the center of the earth, then that rich man couldn't have looked across the gulf. He would have had to look through two heavens and into a third heaven. He would have had to seen out from the heart of the earth, through the first heaven, the lower denser atmosphere where the birds fly, through the second heaven, which is the starry heavens, according to Psalm 19, the first four verses. And he would have had to look beyond the highest star, and the highest star men have been able to locate, so we're 500 million light years away, which means it'd take 500 million years for light to travel from that star, going 186,000 miles a second, and God's throne is somewhere beyond that, as we'll also see in another lesson. We'll talk about where demons came from. So we know that paradise at the time when the rich man died was not up in the third heaven, but paradise was under the earth. Another indication of paradise being down in the earth at that time is that when the thief died on the cross, Jesus said to the thief, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." And Jesus was buried that day and went down to the heart of the earth, according to Psalm 16:10. The prophet said, "Thou wilt not suffer thine holy one to see corruption, neither will thou leave his soul in hell." He went to hell. But he didn't go to the flaming section of hell. He went to the paradise section of hell. So the rich man's over here looking across a gulf, and he sees Lazarus over here in Abraham's bosom. Now this gulf, at the bottom of the gulf, there's a place called the abyss, which literally is the bottomless pit. This is where some demons are now. I don't know how many are there. I don't know what the occasion is of them being there. I speculated a moment ago. Maybe their victim committed suicide. And then this unclean spirit of this demon, maybe his penalty was to go to the bottomless pit. The Bible doesn't say, so I can't say. Or maybe it is that when they were cast out by Paul and by Jesus and by others who cast out demons, maybe they were consigned to the pit. I've read books on demonology where men suggested when they're cast out that you ought to always consign them to the pit or else they'll come back and re-enter their victim. And there's a Bible case of demons leaving a man, and the man was not saved. He only reformed. He cleaned his house. He swept his house out. He cleaned his life up, but he didn't accept Jesus. The Holy Spirit didn't come in to take up his residence. The man wasn't born again. And the demons came back and brought more demons back with them. And the last stage of the man was worse than the first stage. That's in the Bible. We'll study that, by the way. So this is what I'm talking about when I say the bottomless pit. There's also a place here for fallen angels. The word is Tartarus, translated hell, but actually the word is Tartarus. It's not Gehenna, or it's not Sheol or Hades. Sheol and Hades, same word. It's the Greek and Hebrew word for hell, which means the place of the dead. You say hell, you mean anything down under here. But there's a paradise section. There's a Tartarus. There's a Gehenna, a place of perpetual burning. The lake of fire. There's the bottomless pit, the abyss. All this is included in the underworld. So this is the place I'm talking about. We'll look at this chart closer a little later. I'll leave it there a minute if you want to. I'll put it back up. If you didn't finish it, you'll finish. You want to put it up again. That'll make you come back next Sunday, okay? All right, let's continue. Establishing the fact that demons are for real, the Bible indicates their abode. I would say most of them are in the lower denser atmosphere. Now, in Daniel chapter 10, Daniel prays a prayer, and he waits 3 weeks or 21 days. You can go and read it today for yourself. It's in Daniel chapter 10. He waits 21 days to get an answer to his prayer. After 21 days, an angel finally gets through to Daniel. A good angel, one of God's angels, an unfallen angel, gets through to Daniel and says, I left with the answer to this prayer 3 weeks ago or 21 days ago. But he said the prince of Persia, names one of the demons, called the prince of Persia, I think it is. I don't have this written down, just trusting my memory. But anyway, the prince's name, he said he withheld me, or withstood me, 21 days. In other words, this angel from God came to the lower denser atmosphere, the abode of Satan and demons, and he couldn't get through with Daniel's answer. And God sent another angel, which was evidently more powerful than the first angel, and the other angel overcame that demon that was keeping this angel from reaching Daniel. I know you're thinking you're nuts. Well, if I'm nuts, then I'm nuts because the Bible says this is true. And I just happen to believe the Bible. I said when I started, I'm going to try to prove the Bible to you. That's not the purpose of this lesson. Maybe we'll have a lesson. I can give you plenty of reasons why I believe it's true. And if you want to know the truth, you'll have to conclude that it's real. There's no other answer for it. If you just spend enough time, you can prove it to yourself. Anybody can prove it. All right? This angel could not get through because the demon withstood him. Held him back 21 days. Another angel came down and helped this unfallen angel get through, which indicates clearly that some angels have more power than others. That's in Daniel chapter 10. But not all angels are free in the heavenly. Some are. Some are in the bottomless pit, as we saw a moment ago. So that their abode would be twofold. Most of them, you may want to make a note out here, most of them are in the air. Satan is the prince of the powers of the air, the spirits. Some are in the bottomless pit, and all in the bottomless pit will be let out on the earth during the tribulation period in Revelation chapter 9. You talk about demon possession, there'll be plenty of it during the tribulation period. I'm just glad I won't be here. Not only does the Bible indicate their abode, the Bible also points out their final doom. Matthew 25:41. Hell is prepared for the devil and his angels, plural, demons, evil spirits. Their final abode is hell. Hell was not prepared for anyone else except the devil and his angels. If you go to hell, you go as an intruder. I don't see how anybody could read Matthew 25:41 and think that some people were predestined to go to hell. Because it says here it wasn't prepared for unsaved people, it was prepared for the devil and his angels. All right? The Bible points out their final doom, declares their existence and so on. Christ, the proof of demons, Christ commanded his disciples to cast out demons. Now, you don't think Jesus is mixed up, do you? He took demons for real. He knew there were demons and commanded his disciples to cast them out. He not only commanded his disciples to cast out demons, Matthew 10:1, but he cast them out himself. And there are several accounts of this in the Bible. Matthew 15:22 and 28, Mark 5:8. Christ also had complete power over demons. Mark 5:8 through 13. He had complete power over. Remember a moment ago when the demons in this man, legions of them, spoke out to Christ and said, don't cast us, don't consign us to the pit, but let us go in this herd of swine. And he granted them their request. And the herd of swine ran into the sea and committed hogicide. Okay, next Sunday, what are demons and where did they come from? What are demons and where did they come from? There are three views, basically. There are really more than three, but three of the more popular views I'll share with you. Then I'll give you the one that I think the Bible teaches, and it'll be up to you to decide for yourself. I don't think it'd be a problem if you bring your Bible along with you and study with us. Don't miss these. Please bring somebody with you. This is just laying the foundation this morning, just establishing the fact that demons are not some sort of an influence, are not some sort of a natural disease that has been called by some demons. And like this man who wrote this article in the paper laughed at the existence of the devil, said he's a scapegoat, he would also laugh at the existence of demons. But do bring somebody with you. Tell them about the lesson. Talk to them. Say, demons are for real. I'll tell you something you can do. Don't raise your hand. But it would be surprising to know how many of you knew the word exorcist was in the Bible. Don't raise your hand. Because I got the question of the folks in the office yesterday. I said, did you know the word exorcist in the Bible? And I was surprised at people who didn't know it was in there. Because, if you know, you just don't think of looking for the word until the word appears in newspapers and you hear it on the radio. But the Bible's very up to date, you know. Everybody talking about the exorcist, the exorcist, the exorcist, the exorcist. And here it is in Acts chapter 9, verse 11 and 12. That's there, the very word. Vagabond Jew was an exorcist. And he went to cast out a devil, and he adjured him in Jesus' name, and the devil's got mad at him and said, Jesus we know and Paul we know, but who are you? And the demon-possessed man beat the daylights out of him, and they left there naked. That's another case where the demons took the clothes off of these seven men. We didn't read the whole story in Acts 19. But the demon took the clothes off these seven men and wounded them, and they left there naked and wounded. It seems the demon possession is always... sensuality is a sign of it. We'll find out why some believe that demons are the spirits of a pre-Adamite race. Some folks believe that. I'll show you why they believe it, and then I'll show you why I don't believe it. But don't miss it next Sunday. All right? Next Sunday. Bring a friend with you.